Welcome to The Review with Joy & Company, featuring conversations with best-selling authors, as well as the hottest reviews with the authors you choose. We're inspiring the world through Christian literature. Stay logged on. We'd like to know, what are you reading?
Once again, welcome to The Review. I'm Joy, and as always, I am delighted to be in the midst of your company. It's Marvelous Monday, and we've got two marvelous books along with two even more marvelous authors to talk with tonight. I'm so excited because we've got one of God's favorite girls up the first hour, and then in the second hour, well, we've just got another one of his favorite girls. How about that? He's got favorites all over the land, and I love it when he sends them our way. Well, I'm seated here with my dear friend, Rosemary LeGrand.
Hello, everyone. It's a delight to be in the midst of your company again this evening.
Yes. How are you, Rosemary?
I am doing so very well. I had a wonderful Mother's Day.
Did you?
I sure did.
I'm not surprised.
I ministered in Kaufman this weekend.
That's right.
Indeed.
That's right.
That's my 10th year. Would you believe that?
Wow.
Ten years. Yes, it's like family reunion every time I get there.
Yeah, that's always a beautiful thing.
It is.
I've accompanied you maybe once or twice.
Yeah, I do. It's absolutely.
It's a beautiful time.
Yeah.
So everyone in Kaufman.
Everybody.
As well.
Pastor Nancy is so gracious. She is so beautiful.
She is.
Awesome.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed a wonderful Mother's Day.
I did.
Well, we're streaming live, guys, as always, on this marvelous Monday. It's sunny in sunny Arlington, right? Yeah. That's a joke for those of you who are not in the DFW area at this moment. But we're live from Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas on the Fishbowl Radio Network. And I'm, let's say hello to another one of my dear friends, Rose Lewis.
You know what? I got stopped on the way here.
What?
By Cleo and Wally. And they had me look in the mirror. I was so, just so mesmerized by the Nubian queen.
She was the diva.
She was the diva.
You know, but Rose, when you did that, I thought you were going to... When you went like that, I thought you were going to sing or something. I thought, oh, Lord.
Oh, no, Wally and Cleo just got me out of this question.
Okay. I actually thought that was one of maybe Arlington's or Grand Prairie's finest, but you're about to find out just who Cleo and Wally are as we visit with our first author this hour, one of my dear friends, one of my dearest author friends, Regina Stone Matthews. Oh, I love it when she comes in the house, you know. Regina Matthews, she is an award-winning author with 7 children's books under her wings, 4 nonfiction short story books, and 5 of her books have won Christian Literary Awards, a Henry, and 5 Reader's Choice Awards.
Yes.
That ought to be illegal.
Well, if you got it, you just have to flaunt it.
Regina, I didn't realize it was 5 Readers' Choice Awards. I bet your mantle
looks
awesome.
It does. I have all my cute little trophies up there. Every so often, I just get the attitude. And just say, that's mine.
And she earned every one of those awards because she is a fabulous writer. And tonight we're visiting with her. We'll talk more about Regina per se and what she does. I know she's a wife, she's a mother, and she's a grandmother and about to be a new grandmother to a little boy. We'll talk maybe a little bit about that. But right now we want to jump in the stream and say, Regina, welcome to The Review.
Thank you.
And we want to talk about The Mirror.
The Mirror.
Yeah.
The Mirror.
Well, The Mirror came about, I thought, well, I've written these children's books with people.
Yes.
And I wanted to write something with animals. And I had never done that before. So I started with Leonard the Lizard. And only because Leonard the Lizard lives at my house. Haley found him one day and named him Leonard.
Okay.
Oh. And Leroy hangs around, who is Leonard's brother. We don't see Leroy very often because I think he's kind of out and about. But we do see Leonard a lot. So I started with Leonard. And the concept was I wanted to talk about how a lot of times we're just not satisfied with us, yes, with who we are. Mm-hmm. And we want to be something more. We want to be something grander, more powerful, you know, someone, something special, because we may think that we're not. And so we started with Leonard, and then we went to Wally, and Wally is the worm. And then Huxley is the hummingbird. And then Cleo is the cat, is the kitten. And so of them wanted to be more than they were. Mm-hmm. And one day they happened upon this mirror, this magical mirror in the forest. And each one of them looks into this mirror thinking they were just going to see their plain old self. And they see what they really want to be. Each one of them. And so at the beginning I thought, well, I'm just gonna, this is all it's gonna be about, right?
Right.
And God said, no, we're taking it this way. And I didn't know what that meant until I started writing, and it became a repetitive book. And you know, repetitive books are great for kids who, yes, are just learning to read.
Yes.
They're great. They're like pattern books. They're like, you know, great for kids that have speech problems or childhood apraxia of speech, because they're repetitive. But this one is a little different in that it is repetitive, but the outcome isn't as predictable as with pattern books and repetitive books. So that's how it got started.
Wow. Wow. Well, if any of you have never experienced a Regina Stone Matthews read, shame on you, first of all.
Yes.
And secondly, you've got to. What are you waiting for? Visit us at joyandcompany.org and get your hands on her books, because they are wonderful tools for children. But you know, Regina, what I really love about your books is that they benefit adults too. And I love it when you have books that have to be read along with the child, because then the adult gets this experience, whether it's an older sibling, an older relative, or a parent. You get to experience these wonderful life lessons that you teach your children. And many of them, trust me, as adults, we still need to learn them.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I've kind of found myself wishing for this mirror to pop up in my back.
Oh, so you can be with it. They met who did you want to be?
Oh, well, the list would, that would be a really, really long list of people. But, you know, yeah, it would be. But what was different for you with this experience in working with animals?
Well, I didn't really know how to go about it, you know, mm-hmm, because I thought, now, do I need to just make them like animals? Or do I need to put like a fantasy spin on them and make them, you know, be like kids? And so I kind of went that route because I could relate a little bit better with that. And I thought kids could relate better with that. And it wouldn't be like they were reading a book about animals,
yeah,
you know, that maybe they could see themselves in these characters. So I wanted them each to have a character, but then I needed it to be a repetitive type thing if I wanted to get, you know, to the kids that I wanted to touch also, and, you know, in addition to just it being a fun book. And my illustrator, Lee Vashy, is a godsend. She's a great talent. And I was referred to her, and she just was so wonderful. And she has three boys, and they were like, oh, we need headphones, and we and we need skateboards,
yeah,
and you know, we need all. And so she kind of, you know, dressed up the characters, and they started taking on more of almost a human form instead of being animals, but yet they didn't lose, you know, what they want, who they were, and what they wanted to be.
Exactly. Now, you know, I have to say this, guys. If you are a new author, or if you're wanting to venture into writing children's books, we have the creme de la creme seated with us here in the studio tonight. This woman is a wealth of knowledge. She is just bursting at the seams. She knows how to get it done, and she knows how to get it done on an award-winning style. So if you're tuning in live or if you're listening, you might want to call, think of some questions. Feel free to call us. Rose, what's that number? Do you know right offhand?
214-556-6239.
Call in, and we have an expert that we're seated with tonight because she knows all the skinny on doing a children's book correctly. And that's one of the things that I love, you know, just to yeah, I'm like a sponge when I'm seated in your company, yeah, Regina. It's so awesome. But one thing that you never fail to deliver on, whether it's a children's book, whether it's a storytelling for adults, you know, you never fail to deliver on your illustrators. And they change from book to book, yep, don't they?
They do.
Yeah. Have you ever used the same illustrator twice?
Yes.
You have?
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. In my When I Dream, the very first Elizabeth Marie Hutchinson, I had an art student that helped me with that. And then the next two, Dealing with Margaret and I'm a Detective, was the same illustrator.
It was?
Yeah, and Lee and I are getting ready to do another book together. She's going to start on it, the illustrations on it, so I will have used her twice. And then, you know, Tracks in the Snow were kids.
Yes, exactly.
Those were kids. Oh, that was the most fun I've ever had in my whole life. That was kids that illustrated that book. Mm-hmm. And then Rose-Colored Glasses, the short stories there, Donna Brown, she was my illustrator for that, and also she did another book for me, A Place Called Common Sense, mm-hmm. and so she did that one. And then the other one, If the Story Fits, those were just my photographs that I just kind of used to go with that. So mm-hmm. that's how that went. But Lee's going to do another book for me.
Awesome. Well, she's very good. Cool. So what is your, as an author, what is your thought process when you're thinking about who's going to illustrate this book? What am I looking for? What is your thought process to getting the right illustrator for your book?
Well, when I first started talking, I'll use Lee because we just got finished doing something. When I started talking with her, I told her what the book was, you know, what I wanted the book to be about. And then I sent her the manuscript and I asked her to just, you know, give me an illustration on just the first page that you read.
Okay.
And so she did that. And because what I look for is, are you illustrating what I'm praying to the good Lord that I'm saying? You know, is it, am I writing it the right way for you to illustrate, for the children to look at that illustration and go, oh, I can see the words in the illustration. So that's what I look for. And she nailed it.
She just nailed it. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So it makes it like, you know, this is a divine connection.
You know it's going to work. And then with Donna, with that, those were, of course, short stories that aren't children-based.
Which I actually adored that book.
That was fun to do.
It was fun to read.
And she was wonderful. She's a really great illustrator. And I just sent her one story, and I said, tell me what you see, because all I needed was just a title page illustration. So, you know, it wasn't like she was illustrating all through the story. It was just she read the story, do me a title page illustration, and she did. And I was just like, that's it. That's what I wanted to say. That's what I want the reader to get out of that. And so we just, buds.
I don't know why I'm on this illustration thing right here, but it's that because you're so good with your matching, you know. So do you feed off what let me ask this the right way. Does your storyline feed off what the illustrator presents to you sometimes?
Sometimes it does. Sometimes we have to tweak it. Like if, you know, I don't think there were many, excuse me, when Lee did this, I don't think there were many that I had to go back to her and say, well, I kind of want you to do a little bit more of that. And same with Donna. It was just like they just read and just, you know, we just kind of were in sync together, and it worked really well. And that's not my doing or theirs. That's the Lord's that doing. Is. Let me tell you, that's Him just putting it right there for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I pray a lot before I do these things, and I pray all during them. And if you walked in on me when I'm writing, you'd go, all right, let's call him in. Take her away. She's lost her mind.
Wow. 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 Well, I think that's probably your key to success with your writing, you know? And there's always that underlying story that pulls, and there's always an anointing in between your covers, you know? Just always so much that you as a reader can gain from a Regina Stone Matthews book. So check us out at joyandcompany.org. And pick up a copy for your children and for yourself, too, because I really love reading these books. Tonight, we're talking about The Mirror, and I'm sorry, ladies,
That's
but
okay.
you know how
That's
I
okay.
am when I like a book.
That's okay.
Rose,
That's
do
okay.
we have to say hi to anyone yet?
Yes, Noelle Matthews and Lee Lache. And Noelle says that you're lucky, Regina, that your daughter has a lot of friends.
Noelle's my daughter.
And I told her she was lucky to be your She's lucky. She's lucky to have a daughter as wonderful as she is.
Yes.
Because and Haley is watching with us too.
Oh, hey, Haley.
Hi, Haley.
Hi.
Oh my God. Haley.
And Lee says, thank you, Regina. Love you too.
Yes. Wow. Well, thank you guys for jumping in the stream with us tonight as we visit and talk about The Mirror, written by Regina Stone Matthews and illustrated by Lee. Is it Lee?
It's Lee Vashie.
Lee Vashie. Mm-hmm. Great work, guys, that you're doing. Rosemary?
Now, I was just going to say it is so good. It's a very good read because a lot of kids right now, some of them have such low self-esteem.
Yeah.
And they want to change and they want to be different because they're looking at their friends and they're saying, okay, I want to be like her.
Yeah.
So I think that was a very good ride because as you explain, you know, you have to be yourself.
Yeah,
you know, you can't be anybody else. You have to be yourself.
Exactly.
You know, so that was a very good read. You know, so how long did it take you to write this?
I worked on this about a year.
Just about a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got the idea of it, and then I just kind of, I played around with it, and then I really didn't know where I wanted to go with it. All I knew is that I wanted the end result to be The Mirror. I wanted that to be the end result.
Yeah.
And so I had to kind of take them through these things in order for them to see that and that what they aspired or what they wanted to be was just not going to work in their life.
Exactly.
You know, they had to be themselves.
Themselves.
And if that led to great things, you know, that's good. But they still had to be themselves, you know. And I think our families, no matter if we're like super famous or whatever,
mm-hmm.
our families keep us grounded.
Yes.
And that was kind of, I wanted kids to kind of see that point. That's why I brought the families into it, because the families were like, you know, don't you understand how important you are to to us, to the family?
Right.
But they didn't, you know, because all they could see was what they saw
in
that
the
mirror.
Yes.
That magical mirror.
You know?
I loved it. I loved the whole concept of the mirror, and I loved the message. Aside from, and the whole self-esteem message is really, really big, are there any other underlying messages that we might be able to pull from the mirror?
Well, probably, I think that the only thing that I else that I would want children to see in this is that when you do look in that mirror, you know, because we always hear the mirror doesn't lie and the camera doesn't lie.
Yeah, yes.
That when you look in that mirror, understand that what you're looking at is you.
Yes.
You know, you're not looking at anyone else. You're looking at you, and you've got to decide within yourself if that's good enough. And it has to be, because God just don't mess up.
No, he does not.
And so that, if that was an underlying thing in it, it would be that. I would want them to understand that part.
I like a line at the beginning of the book when you said, each day, think about all that you are. Instead of thinking about all that you are not.
Right.
Yes.
And that's important when you look in the mirror, I feel. Mm-hmm.
It is very important.
We need to take the negativity and put it to sleep.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I think there was a reflection in the mirror about a cat looking in the mirror and seeing a lion.
A lioness, yeah.
You know, seeing that lion. And that cat, because that cat had low self-esteem, it could never believe that it could be a lion.
Right.
You know, and that's what happens sometimes.
Exactly.
You know, when we look in the mirror, we see the lie. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we see the truth.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes we see the truth, like the cat looking and seeing a lion, you know. And if only I could be a lion. And that cat was a lion. You know, I'm a lion. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened
me.
Exactly. Yeah? So when you look in the mirror and you see the reflection of who you're supposed to be, you know, so it's good. And I think you did a lot of that, you know, even in the illustrations.
Oh, good.
You know, you did that to show, you know, I want to be, although, you know.
Anaconda!
I guess I'm silly because when I got to the board, where they all ended up in front of the mirror and all they saw was the worm and the cat. I was cracking up laughing. I was laughing because they was like, where are we at?
Yeah, really.
What happened?
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
Turmoil.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's like, where did we go? And I just got so tickled because it's like I could just see them standing there like they were people. Look at looking for this fictitious them that they had seen. Girl, I was cracking up, Regina. I just look at that worm. You still a worm.
Indeed, indeed.
There we go.
Wow. And this book did that to Rose.
Only to Rose.
Maybe I needed a laugh today.
You needed a laugh.
Yeah, baby, because I was just laughing hysterically.
Guys, you're tuned into the Review with Joy and Company, and we're having fun as we always do when she comes around. That's
yes.
Regina Stone Matthews. She's visiting with us this evening, and we're talking about her new book, The Mirror. You can visit us at joyandcompany.org to get your copy. And it's almost summertime. You know, well, spring is just really getting started here and everything, but summer's right around the corner anyway. So you know you need some great summer reads for your children. And what a wonderful thing to do is to present them with books that are fun, that are engaging, that's going to up their reading levels and just give them a wonderful, powerful message that they can live by. And really, that message, the first page that you just read is a message that we need to soak in as adults. Also.
I'm going to steal it and use it, in fact.
It's yours. I'm sure.
I need to use this. Yeah. You saw me put it in my book.
I saw you.
Oh,
gosh. In the book.
Awesome.
Regina, you've been doing this for quite a little while now, and you've ventured out into different genres aside from children. So you've gotten your feet wet in a couple of different tubs there.
Yes.
What, at this point, looking back, is what you say was one of the most profound lessons as a writer that you've learned?
That I'm not as important as I thought I was. No. The mirror. Looking back, well, I'll tell you, I probably did not think it was going to be as hard as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not the writing. The writing I love.
Yes.
It's the everything else as an author that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back from the beginning, I realize I didn't know anything, not anything. And I have learned so much through this process. And being part of a writing group is just so important for your growth, and it lets you know exactly where you are, you know, and what level you're on. And I've met so many wonderful people and so many wonderful authors that just, you know, I just love reading their stuff and learning from them. And so, and then everything else is just kind of, it is really hard. But my goal in all of this has been, if I touch one child, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I feel like I've done my job. If I can hit one kid, just right here and right here, if I can do that, then I'm just, you know, so happy about that. And even adults, if I can, you know, touch a funny bone, if I can, you know, make them cry a little bit, if I can get them kind of angry a little bit, rub them the wrong way a little bit, then that's, you know, to me, that's the success of an author.
Yes.
You know, regardless of, you know, whether you're pulling in millions of dollars or whatever you're doing, for me, that's what is important. So when I look back, I realize when I first started, I didn't know anything. I just enjoyed the writing. The writing was just, you know, I can just do it every day, all day.
So that's great that you've been able to really streamline your why. And when we have that done, you know, that makes the journey definitely more rewarding when we see our whys coming into fruition. And I know you already know the story because I've shared it with you more than once, but I just never tire of sharing it because I think it was 3 years ago, I myself had a brief moment where I had a little girl and I was working with her. She had reached 8 years old, lost her mother, and the trauma of losing her mother's death left her where she forgot how to read. And she was going through a lot of emotional challenges, of course, you know. And it was your books, your Margaret series.
Yes.
You know.
And I met her I fell in love with her.
Yes. And I will forever vouch for your writing and particularly for that Margaret Hutchinson series of books. It was the I Dream series, right?
Yes.
And listen, if you've got tweens, this is a great series for them because it teaches them so many lessons. And my little girl, she discovered reading again and began to have a passion for reading because of that story. And she began to identify with some of the feelings and experiences that she was having at school through that story.
Yeah.
And when we first pulled out that book, it was almost like, look, you're going to sit here and read or I'll whip you. So what do you want to do? And then after maybe three or four, you know, of those moments, she was bringing the book to me. Aww. We're not reading tonight, you know?
I remember that.
That's
and
good.
It was really a wonderful experience. And I totally attribute that to your books and
Thank
your
you.
Writing. You know, it was right there in the heart of things and what we needed at the moment.
And I think she likes dealing with Margaret the
she
best.
Loves
yeah, she
loves dealing with Margaret.
Yeah, oh, that Margaret did. Callahan.
Well, you know, and she a part of her was several of those characters.
There you go. So it works. It works.
It works.
Well, I am working on, I have maybe 2-3 chapters going. I wanted to do one more Elizabeth book, and then I'll be, because I'm not really in the YA category and genre. You know, I can't think like that. I can only take them up to a certain grade level, and then that's about as far as my brain can go.
Yes.
So I want one more Elizabeth book, and then so this one's going to be about boys. And relationships.
You guys get ready for that.
With boys.
And they need that at younger ages now,
well,
from what
do.
I'm experiencing
Middle
with
school,
nieces
yes,
and nephews.
Yes.
Well, I love that you have found your niche there. I love that you're adventurous and you do venture out from time to time in other arenas, genres, you know. But that is your golden niche right there.
Thank you.
And you do it so well.
I was going to ask you, which one of the animal characters was it difficult for you to find the thinking of who they wanted to be?
Oh, good question.
Well, Leonard, really.
Really?
I had Leonard something else. Mm-hmm. I had Leonard something else. And then I was sitting in my writing group, and Leonard was something else. And then I thought, they were like, no, Leonard's not that. And so I had taken Haley to dance.
Thank you.
And Ashley goes,
thank you.
Her mom, Ashley, says, how about a kimono dragon? And I went, what is that? She said, look it up. She's a teacher. Look it up. So I looked it up, and I went, that's Leonard. Leonard wants to be a kimono dragon, for crying out loud. And so I did. Took it back to my writing group. And one of the guys, he writes science fiction.
Mm.
Which that's the whole other brain.
But it's a very creative brain.
It's a very creative brain.
Yeah.
It's very specific. Mm-hmm. Just makes my head explode. But anyway, he read that and he went, that's it. That's what you need. Kimono Dragon. And so
awesome.
Leonard became the so he was the hardest. Because when I got to, you know, to Wally's like a worm.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, what would a worm want to be?
Yeah.
An anaconda,
yeah,
of course.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
And so then you look at Huxley for the hummingbird, and then you look at Cleo. Of course, that just kind of falls into place for me. But Leonard was the hardest, believe it or not.
Yeah, wow. That's interesting. Mm. That was a really great question, Rosemary.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, Regina, we always like to say thank you for coming by.
You're welcome.
And, you know, it really makes me feel very special, too, that you come by, because we've been at this for several years, and you've been coming by for several years.
Absolutely. And
so I think that speaks volumes. So thank you.
Thank you.
I am just, you know, always excited, and I love you for that. That's encouraging to us as a team, and we always want to go right back at you with that word of encouragement. You know,
thank
we do
you.
It in the person of Rosemary LeGrand when
yes,
she brings the wick, words inspiring change. Listen to this.
Thank you, Joy. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5, I knew you before you were born. I knew you when you were formed in your mother's womb. I set you apart and appointed you as a spokesman to the world. As parents, we do have a responsibility before God to train up our children, to discipline them when they are disobedient, to lovingly correct them when they make wrong choices. God has blessed our children with hope and a future, and they were set apart for His intended purpose even before they were born. Therefore, speak words of blessings over your children. Let them know how special they are and how much God loves them. Always look for the good in your children, the positive instead of the negative. You see, negative words will cause our children to lose a sense of value that God has placed in them. Your children need your blessing. They need your approval. Children need to hear those words so very often. I love you. I believe in you. I think you are great. There is nobody like you. You are so special. You are one of a kind. And God so love you. So until next time, remember to train up a child in the way that he or she should go. Because when they get older, they will not depart from it. Always let them know that they are so special.
Amen.
May God richly bless you.
You know, as you were reading, I thought about my own mother. And for years, I never thought she loved me. And when she'd become of age and I matured and accepted her position as having a mental illness and that a lot of the things were beyond her control when I felt unloved. One day I had went to visit her and she said, you know what, Rose, you're the best child I got.
Wow.
And that meant the world to me. So anyone listening, take what Rosemary said to heart, because positive remarks to your children impact them for life.
Yes, it is.
You know, Rosemary, that was such an appropriate word to come back from Mother's Day on.
Yes.
You know, and I'm reflecting back, just scrolling through Facebook yesterday and all the Mother's Day pictures that were being posted. And if we missed anybody out there, happy Mother's Day to everyone, belated and everything. And it really does touch your heart because you shape that person.
Yes,
absolutely.
You know, you are the first love of your child. That's the first person you love is is your mother. And it's just amazing.
First person that you know.
Yeah. First person you know, see and smell, hear.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything. Yeah. Such a beautiful experience. And
Of course, Rosemary got comments. I got to read
them. Okay, we're ready.
Always blessed, Javon said. Beautiful words of wisdom, Miss Rosemary LeGrand. And she says, so true. And Linda Joy says, evening, ladies. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. You are so powerful and a blessing to many.
Yes.
And then John Vache said, my wife really enjoyed this. And he got this PRI. This project. He finished writing. Thank you for having Regina on your show.
Aww.
And your wife did a fantastic job. In case you didn't hear earlier, John. And Catherine Hoover Heard joined us, and Pastor Francisca joined us, Jana Lewis Perez joined us, and of course, Always Blessed Javon and Linda Joyce.
Wow. Awesome. Thank you guys for jumping in the stream with us tonight. We really are excited to have you. We've got a couple of announcements we want to tell you about, and number one, the 16th annual Summers Writers Conference is on and popping. It's on its way. It's presented by Roaring Lambs, and it is the best writers conference this side of the, what is that called? The Mason-Dixon line?
Mississippi.
I'm stretching it here. Okay, we'll go with this side of the Mississippi. No, it's a very good, it's an excellent writers conference. And if you don't have it tabled or penciled in your schedule, do so right now. It's Saturday, July 31st, and you can visit Roaring Lambs, R-O-A-R-I-N-G, lambs.org to get all the details. It's a conference from 9:30 a.m. until 3:30 p.m., and at 3:15 p.m. you're going to be saying, no, it can't be over, because it's always so power packed. And that is the 16th annual Summers Writers Conference hosted by Roaring Lambs, July 31st. I think you should make plans to be there if you're serious about writing, okay? You'll love it. Also, I want to remind you that soon, maybe next week, the next issue of Sura Magazine is coming out. So I want you to get ready, get geared up for the spring issue of Sura Magazine. Make sure you get a copy of that. It is coming forth. Just visit Sura Magazine. I think it's .com. I would need to know that, right? But just Google Sura Magazine. You'll find it. And I'm going to let Rosemary tell us about the upcoming Christian Literary Awards.
Wow. We only have days left to submit your book for the Christian Literary Award. The deadline is May the 31st. Please, what are you doing? Take this book out of archives or wherever it is and send it to your publisher. It's not too late, yes? And then to submit your book, just go to joyandcompany.org, click on the medallion, and that's going to take you directly to the entry form. And again, as I said initially, it is not too late for you to submit your book. Books must be published 2018, 19, 20, and 21. And as usual, we would be delighted to be in the midst of your company.
Rose?
Well, of course, you know, I want them to come all glitzed and glammed up for that big night.
Yes.
And get all the fine entertainment we're going to have for them, and to see the fine authors and writers that have penned their
magnificent works.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a great opportunity to network with all the authors that we've been interviewing their books, not only this year, but last year, too. Yes. So we're like double the authors. So it's going to be really big this year, you guys. And we're celebrating our 10th anniversary in our 11th year.
That's great.
It's great, right?
I'm so excited
about it. So make plans to join us. It's in September this year, September 18th. Right now is the targeted date, and we'll be giving you more details as time rolls along.
And I'd like to say, I need readers. If you like reading,
we need some more readers.
Yes, we do. Please contact me.
No,
yes, we have lots of books, and I need lots of readers. So you can contact me, Rose Lewis, at henri.15@yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. .2015@yahoo.com. Yeah. See, I'm losing track. you can always go to joincompany.org and go to the contact page. And, of course, I'll get the message. Rosemary, get it to me.
She does. Yeah. You know, Regina, one of the biggest challenges for me is with the children's book is not to tell the whole storyline in asking you questions and talking about it. I'm really hyped about this book. I don't want to tell your whole storyline.
Right.
But would you be so kind as, and I'll let you choose which one, but would it bother you to just read a little snippet from the book?
No, I don't mind at all.
Oh, great, great. I want you guys to get your whistles wet for this. The mirror.
The mirror.
The mirror.
Well, we'll go with Leonard.
We'll go with Leonard? Okay.
We'll go with Leonard since he wants to be one of the biggest things on earth. Okay. Leonard the lizard never wanted to be a lizard at all. He always wanted to be more than he appeared. Larger, powerful, feared. In fact, Leonard always wanted to be a kimono dragon.
Mm.
Then no one would pick on him. He would be so big, all the other lizards would be frightened of him. He would never have to be ashamed of being just a plain old lizard. But every time he looked in the mirror, that is all he saw. Leonard, the plain old boring lizard. One day Leonard found himself deep in the forest. He spotted a mirror standing alone in a clearing, which seemed kind of strange. As he walked in front of the mirror, he did not see plain old boring Leonard the lizard. He saw the biggest kimono dragon he had ever seen. He could not believe his eyes. Could it possibly be him? Yes, he was a kimono dragon. Leonard always thought mirrors showed off your bad reflections. Sometimes it showed your good reflections too, but Leonard never saw any good reflections until now.
Mm.
When Leonard stepped away from the mirror, he looked at himself to the left and then to the right. All he could see was Leonard, the plain old boring lizard. But each time he stepped in front of the mirror, he became a kimono dragon.
Ooh. Wow. Leonard's got a big story to tell, and you can visit us at, and he's got friends with even bigger stories. Visit us at joyandcompany.org to get your copy of The Mirror, written by Regina Stone Matthews. Regina, now you mentioned about being a part of a writer's group,
yes,
and you let us know that it is important.
It is.
As a writer to do that. What do we look for? What should we look for when we want to join a writer's group, especially if we're looking for it to help our skills?
Our skills. Well, I started, I got invited to this group because I went to a book signing. And I met the authors, and we started talking, and I said, you know, I was interested in writing. I was writing children's books at the time, didn't know what to do with them because I had already written this story so many years ago, the first Elizabeth story. And they said, oh, you've got to join our writers group. Well, this is a Christian writers group. So if you're going to, if this is your genre, if you like writing, you know, Christian books, which all of mine are, then this is the group you want to be in. And it's not to say that we don't have writers that come to this Christian writers group that are secular writers, mm-hmm. Because we do. They don't last very long because a lot of us are Christian-based, so they kind of fall by the wayside. But we have science fiction writers, and believe it or not, those are also Christian-based books. So I was very interested in it because I knew, even though in my Elizabeth books, you know, I don't quote any Bible verses, I don't talk about God, but there's just kind of a feeling of God in those books. And even in The Mirror, there's really, I don't talk about God. Now, this next children's book, you'll know for a fact that it is. But that's what I looked for. And when I first went there, they just made you feel so comfortable. And what you do in these groups is that you bring your work, you know, and you have to bring enough for everyone to have a copy of what you're reading, but you can only bring 5 pages. And then they critique it. Someone reads it out loud. And if you don't think that's scary, to sit there and listen to someone read your work, you're just like, oh, because writers are very protective of, you know, this is your baby, yes, and you're very protective of it. And so that really scared the yogurt out of me, of having someone read my work. But that is so good because you get to hear where your mistakes are, you know, and if they're reading out loud and they stumble, well, that means your sentence is awkward and you need to maybe go back and rewrite that sentence.
Yeah.
But that's what I was looking for, as someone, you know, it was a group that would do that, would critique it that way, and that was kind of in my lane of where I wanted to be in. Ooh. So they're everywhere. Writers groups are everywhere.
Yes, they are. So we've got time for just a little bit more, and I'd like to touch on kids inspiring kids.
Oh, I am so excited about kids inspiring kids. Let me tell you something. I did this a good while back on Facebook,
mm-hmm,
and with nothing more than just hoping from Tracks in the Snow, you know, with the kids doing the illustrations, I thought, well, this is going to be really good if I had a Facebook page where parents could go to and just put things about their kids that they had done that were this extraordinary kind of things that kids did, and it would inspire other kids to do, you know, maybe do the same or try and do more. And it just kind of started out, and it just kind of went, and I thought, oh, this isn't going anywhere. But I just left it, you know, and if I saw a story about a kid that did something super cool, I'd throw it out there. If my friend saw, you know, someone, and I'd say, please put it out on Kick. And so one day I got this request from this gentleman who his daughters do a news show. They do all, it's called Good News Network, and he films them and they tell good news stories. And he puts it on Kick just practically every single day. Well, I'm not up on these shows. Ryan Seacrest and what is her name? Kelly Ripa, is that her name?
Uh-huh.
They, you know, they had that show.
Right.
They got wind of these kids. And so they interviewed them on their show. And so, you know, they're on my Facebook page almost every day. And this gentleman, their dad, he's so nice. He's nice enough to put them on my page. And we ended up on the Facebook, you know, when you go into the videos on Facebook, Kick was on the video page of Facebook. And I just went, like, I was so excited, I about busted a gut. I was just, oh, my land.
I can only imagine. Time,
you failed important.
I was an anaconda. Let me tell you what.
I found the mirror. Yes.
On Facebook, of all places. And it was wonderful. So I love these two little girls. They're wonderful. And they do this show. And so Kick is just kind of, it's just kind of taken off. And I'm just loving it. Just, I'm so glad you asked me about that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Because I've looked at it a couple of times. Yeah. And I'm thinking, wow, she's kind of blowing up.
It is. It was blowing up.
Yes.
And all those kids doing these super great things. Mm-hmm. I just love them so much.
Yeah, and you're so good with them.
You
know, we're still in the middle, or hopefully on the tail end of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I know that kind of shut down a lot. But do you anticipate in the next school year, getting back out and mentoring with the schools again?
Yes, I really want to. I missed it. They had career, usually they do career day in May, and I have missed that so much because I always go to one school in Garland. It's called Bullock Elementary. I go there almost every year for career day, and I didn't get to go. Well, we didn't go last year, and we didn't go. This year, they did career day, but it was just in school career day, so we didn't get to do anything. And I and before all of this happened, I got to do a seminar, a writing seminar with some fifth graders, and that was so fun. I love doing that. Awesome. So I have missed that. I've missed that so much. So yeah, I'm hoping to get back
into
it.
And that should spark ideas, being around kids.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. The questions they ask are just crazy.
Yeah.
I just love it. Yeah. I love it.
And you know what? You're really putting yourself out there when you go to do a read-in with kids. Because
the things that they always ask me, that you know what they ask you? The very first thing they ask you is, how old are you?
Oh,
and you're like, what'd you say?
They're so raw and honest.
And
just,
do. They ask you that every time. And what is precious, what I love is you know, tracks in the snow, that's for little kids.
Yes.
So when I get to talk to like kinders and first graders, I always leave room at the end for Q&A. And so the teachers will say to them, well, ask a question, you know, and they'll say, I like Junie B. And I'm like, okay, and your question is? And they'd say, well, I like mystery books. And I say, okay, and your question, and the teachers are over there, ask a question. And they're just not like, you know, they don't get that part, but it's so cute. I just love it. So I ask them questions back so that way they kind of understand what a question is.
So if you're a teacher out there, whether you're in the independent school districts or private schools or Christian schools, Regina Matthews is your go-to for storytelling and story hour. She has wonderful books, and she'd love to come out and visit you at your schools and talk about them and do read-ins with your students. I love it. She's wonderful with her presentation. The book that we've been talking about, The Mirror, and it's written by Regina Stone Matthews. Do yourself a big favor for the kids this summer and put your hands on a copy of it. Visit us at joyandcompany.org and we'll just slide you right in to her website. Right. That was for you, Linda Joyce.
Slide on in.
Do we have to say hi to some people?
Yes, we do. Linda Marie Hines and Julie McCarthy. And Julie McCarthy says, beautiful storytelling and storyteller.
Wow.
And
awesome.
When we were talking about the kids near the end, Linda Joyce says, we are our children's first teachers, good or not so good.
Awesome.
Yes.
And
awesome.
When we were talking about the awards, Linda Joyce said, I want to come.
Well, you better come, Linda Joyce. Guys, you know, as always, it goes by too quickly, especially when you're visiting with one of God's favorite girls.
Absolutely.
Regina, thank you so much for sharing
with us.
Thank
and,
you.
You know,
thank
we love you. We love your
love
work.
You.
And
yeah.
Thank you for coming by.
Listen,
don't go too far, okay? I mean, seriously. We'll be back in just a few minutes, maybe five. And we've got a new book and a new author to visit with. And this is going to be a really great show.